We'll be looking this evening in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read the entire chapter. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there's anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Therefore a lion from the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the desert shall destroy them. A leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They are like well-fed, lusty stallions, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord, and shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go up on her walls and destroy, but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not He. Neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. And the prophets become wind, for the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Behold, I will bring a nation against you from afar, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They are all mighty men, and it shall eat up your harvest and your bread, which your sons and your daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. They shall destroy your fortified cities in which you trust with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. It will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble in my presence, who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men as a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become rich. They have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Well, selective hearing is a problem that we all are faced with at various points in our life. Tuning people out. For some of us, perhaps the worst is when we are in front of the television and we just don't hear what other people are saying. We, you know, somebody will say something, yeah, that's fine, sure, whatever you say. And we just tune people out. I was talking yesterday with John Pershey, and we were talking about why it's difficult to proofread. And one of the reasons it's difficult to proofread is that we selectively hear. Because we read the things that we've written, and instead of reading what's actually on the page, we read what we meant to say, what we think we said, and so we don't actually proofread we can struggle to proofread. And for that same reason, then it's hard sometimes for us to understand why the words that we say to other people, it's hard for us to understand how those words can be hurtful to others. Because they heard, we said something different than what we thought we said. And so even in the very things that we ourselves say, we can selectively hear those things and not really hear the true thing that what we've really said. And, of course, sometimes the ability to selectively hear can be a good thing. When can it be a good thing to selectively hear? Well, if you're in a crowd of people and you're trying to communicate with one other person, even, say, after church this evening, when we all stand around and talk, it's good to be able to selectively hear and just to listen to the person you're talking to and not to be forced to listen to all the conversations simultaneously. However, of course, selective hearing can be a problem for us because we can often ignore vital information. And who among us has not been given instructions by someone else, and later on we said, well, I wish I had listened more closely to what I was supposed to do after I did this. I know there was another step I was to take, and I can't seem to remember because I know my mind was wandering. Well, the problem in Israel was the problem of selective hearing. The people didn't want to hear from God. They did not want to listen to what God had to say to their situation. And so therefore they tuned out God, and instead of listening to what God had to say to them, they tuned in the false teaching of the prophets and loved it. They love to listen to the false teaching. And of course, it highlights a tendency that we all have, that tendency to cherry pick, to take the messages that are pleasant to us and to leave behind that which is unpleasant, that which we don't want to listen to. And so the challenge, really, the example, the negative example from Jeremiah 5 is a negative example for us of those who don't listen. And it calls you as the people of God to really listen to all of God's Word, not just selectively listening to those portions that you want to hear, that you enjoy hearing. I think in our own time in history, with the rise of the internet, with the media age that we live in, the abundance of reading material, one very negative aspect of all that is that people are accustomed to not having to entertain opposing viewpoints. We can pick and choose where we get our news from and only hear the news from people who interpret the news the way that we want the news interpreted. We can read only theology that fits in with the way that we want to have our theology fit in. And these sorts of things. We can listen to only the types of music that we want to listen to, never being forced to listen to music that other people might enjoy listening to. And so it tends to reinforce our own viewpoints. And the reality is, of course, that we rather enjoy just listening to people who agree with us all the time. And it's so nice to listen to somebody else who feels the exact same way that I do on everything. What a smart, engaging fellow who would echo the same things that I have, the same views and the same beliefs that I have. But the reality is that in spite of people saying that they're seeking the truth, in spite of the fact, you know, we live in a university town, in spite of the fact that we have this quest for higher learning, the reality is that people don't seek the truth. And that was the case in Jerusalem. People invoked the name of the Lord as the Lord lives. They claimed to be God's people, verse 2. But the reality was that they did not have interest in the truth. And God challenges Jeremiah, you go out and you find just one. Find me one truth seeker. See if you can find a man. And it reminds us of that passage in Genesis 18 with Abraham, that discussion between God and Abraham before the destruction of Sodom. When Abraham says, well, God, will you spare the city for 50? How about 40? How about 10? Will you spare it for only 10? And God is challenging Jeremiah, just find one truth seeker in this town. And it speaks of a broader problem among mankind. Psalm 14. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. There is none who seek after God. And this is true throughout the world, that people are not interested in knowing the truth. People are not interested in seeking after God. And the sooner that we acknowledge that this is the natural condition of the human heart, and even the natural condition of our own hearts, apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the better off we will be. That we have to acknowledge that our own hearts want to seek comfort and seek peace apart from the truth that God speaks. And so one very basic application, even from the outset in Jeremiah 5, is for us as the people of God to be truth seekers. That in everything we do, that we ought to be good listeners, willing to reevaluate our positions, quick to listen, quick to admit when we are wrong, desirous of hearing what other people have to say. But not only is it that people want to resist listening to the truth, but people also want to be reinforced in their rebellions against God. And that's what was going on in Jerusalem. There are a few circumstances in Jerusalem at this point in time. First of all, judgment had already begun in Jerusalem. We don't know exactly when Jeremiah made this prophecy, but perhaps already one of the deportations had occurred. There were three different times when the Babylonians came in and took off, with some people taking them off into exile in Babylon. And perhaps some of that had already occurred. But as verse 3 tells us, they had refused to receive correction. They would not listen to the Lord. And on top of this, the fact that God had already brought chastisement and they wouldn't listen, they continued in their commitment to wickedness. There was lots of wickedness. And one specific example that's given is given in verses 7 and 8. And it's a wickedness that we see in our own nation as well. This widespread adulterous behavior, this coveting of neighbor's wives, this gathering, this assembling together, rushing together as multitudes in order to participate in unrighteousness, in unrighteous fornication that was taking place in that land. Once again, in verse 26 and 27, there's a lot of deceit and treachery going on in the nation. And notice very clearly, once again, God is not nitpicking. It's not as if God is saying, well, you know, we all know that there are matters of scriptural interpretation that we wrestle with, that we aren't sure always what the right thing to do is or not. So someone was just asking me last week, how do we as Christians deal with this health care stuff that's going on? What are we going to do if we have to spend money to support more abortion? What are people in the health care industry going to do if they're forced to do things that are unbiblical? How do we deal with this? Or, and we could think of other areas where we might struggle and debate and discuss, well, what's the right thing to do for a Christian in a given situation? But that's not the problem in Jerusalem. It's not that they're struggling with the gray areas. They're in sin and open rebellion in the open, in the very clear-cut cases of God's law. Things like adultery and robbery. But in spite of God's clear correction and their clear sin, they will not listen. Verse 3 tells us that they refuse the correction of God. Verse 4 tells us that they are ignorant of the ways of God. They won't listen to God. Verse 5, Jeremiah says, surely, he's on this search. Remember the quest in verse 1, as he finds out, it's a dreaming the impossible dream, trying to find that one man. But he says, well, surely the people I've been looking at are the poor and the foolish. Verse 5, I'll go to the great men. Among the great men, I'm sure to find someone who understands and knows God's ways. But they, too, have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Even among the great men of the society, there was no interest in serving God. And so what Jeremiah was confronted with was that these people didn't want the truth. They only wanted to be reinforced and their own rebellion. This is true in our day as well. Here are two recent examples from the news, prominent examples from the news. One, in this past week, Pat Robertson, of course, has come out with statements on Haiti. And without dissecting those statements, I think on the one hand, it's fascinating because we hear people quite willing to decry the poverty in Haiti, the lack of infrastructure, the horrific conditions in this nation, the absolute backwardness of this nation of Haiti. And people are adamant something has got to change in this country. This is not right. It's not good. But as soon as you say, could this be God's judgment on this people? Could this be the result of them not listening to God's commandments and God's word? Oh, how dare you be critical of this great nation? Another example in the recent news, Tiger Woods, and all over the news. What a sleazeball, what a pervert, what an absolute loser this guy is. And then many of you have probably seen that Brett Hume suggests that Tiger look into Christianity. And people are outraged. How dare you criticize his Buddhism? What right do you have to do this? After they've so willing to criticize him for him being a sleazeball. And so while people may recognize some of the problems, they don't want to hear the truth. They want to be reinforced in their rebellion against God. They don't know the way of the Lord, and they don't want to know the way of the Lord. And so, stated one way, we can say that people want to continue in their rebellion and to be untroubled. Don't trouble me with the facts. I don't want to hear the truth. Stated another way, so that's kind of the negative. Don't bother me with the truth. Stated another way, we see that people have no interest in fearing God. They love their blindness and their deafness. They don't want to think about God. They don't want to have to serve Him. And there's almost a childishness that's presented here that's going on in Jerusalem at this point in time. There's kind of the old-fashioned, if I can't see you, you aren't there. If I just cover my eyes, then I'm in this room alone. And the people pretend, well, if we don't listen to God, God doesn't exist. And we see that in verse 22. Hear this now, O foolish people. Or this is verse 21. Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Don't you care about me? Don't you acknowledge my power and my control? And this is and God uses an image here. He uses an example of His power, of His control, that at least for me, I never remember thinking about until this week. He uses this imagery of the fact that He has fixed the boundaries of the ocean with the sand. That He holds the waters in place with sand. I don't know if I've told you this. While I was in Sudan, Andrew Stringer was constructing a cistern outside his house, making it out of bricks, and we helped on some of the early part of this project. And last I heard, after numerous attempts to plaster the inside of this cistern, to paint it with swimming pool paint and all sorts of things, the cistern was still leaking water. But God here says, I hold the ocean in place with sand. Who would think to hold a great body of water in place with sand? And yet God, in His ability to control things, to work things, does just that. He holds the oceans in place with His sand. And so God is saying, if I can use the sand as the boundary for the sea, don't you think I'm powerful? Don't you think I am in control? And yet, this people has, verse 23, a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. They have no desire to serve the Lord who has done good things for us. And there's just a natural self-centeredness that people have. That people don't want to fear God. People want to be free to serve themselves, to do what they want to do. And so therefore, what do people do? Well, they then seek out prophets who will tell them what they want to hear. The people want to be free to rebel. They don't want to serve the Lord. They don't want to have to listen to the Lord. And so they accumulate for themselves teachers who will say the things that they want to hear. Verse 12, they lie about the Lord. They say, oh, this judgment isn't from God. There's no evil coming on us. We're God's people. God wouldn't punish us. God is a God of love only. Don't worry. No evil is coming on this nation. No sword, no famine. And we can think in our own land. God can't turn His back on us. Even the Great Depression, we overcame that. We as a nation were able to overcome the great world wars. We've overcome natural disasters. No one has ever been able to attack North America successfully, militarily. And so therefore, we are secure. We are fine. Don't worry. And certainly in our own nation, there are prophets who are speaking. But they are not speaking for God. In churches all across America, and in books written in America, there are people who are not speaking for God, but are merely telling people what people want to hear. And that was the situation that Jeremiah was speaking to. And what does he say? What does, through the mouth of God, the prophets, verse 13, become wind, for the word is not in them. Jeremiah here calls the preachers of his day windbags, bunches of hot air blowing smoke. They just blow smoke because they are not speaking for God. And this is summarized in verses 30 and 31. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. What an indictment that is. The prophets are lying. The priests aren't looking to God's word to give instruction. They just come up with their own ideas. And the people love it. Don't make us listen to God's word. We would rather hear you lie to us. We would rather hear David Hansen tell us David Hansen's ideas than have somebody stand and tell us what God's ideas are. And it's a tragedy. It's a sad, sad commentary that Jeremiah gives on the society of his day. Amos speaks of this when he says in Amos 8:11, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." A famine for hearing from God. 2 Timothy builds on this same theme. When Paul charges Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1-4, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word." Timothy, you're not free to say what you want to say. You're not free to develop your own material. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. We don't want to hear from God's word. We want teachers who will tell us the things we want to hear, who will tickle our ears, and will give us the myths that we want to believe in. And so people turn away from the voice of God. But do the people get away with that? Are people able to ignore the voice of the Lord? Well, the danger and what's coming on Jerusalem is that they will hear from God, but they aren't going to hear the words of true comfort from the prophets any longer. They are going to hear from God, but now hear from God in His voice of judgment. The time has come when God will send great judgment on them. And Judah, the people of Jerusalem, were like a child who never wants to be told no. And so they find people who will tell them yes, 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 and reinforce them and always being right. My dad was telling me the story about a dad who came to see him. It's about an eighth grader in the school. This kid has been in a lot of trouble in the school since the fifth and sixth grade. My dad has the kids in his building for 4 years. And the dad came in and he said, and this dad has continually also stood and defended his son. And the dad came in and said, I did the right thing all these years. I've lied for my son. I've made sure to defend him even when I knew he wasn't telling the truth, even when I knew he was wrong. I blamed the administration for these things. I've been a good dad. I've done what I was supposed to, telling my son yes, yes, yes. And now he is your problem. And you need to correct my son and fix this problem that my son has. And his son has already found himself in significant legal trouble as well. But here we have a kid who was told yes, 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 and a dad who went along with it. A parent who let him hear only what that child wanted to hear. And now this child is confronted with hearing the voice of judgment in his life. And that's Israel is going to hear from God, but it's not the voice that they want to hear. It's the voice of judgment, the voice of chastisement. And the result of ignoring the micro-judgments, if you will, is that now they're going to receive mega-judgment. They're going to be, verse 14, like kindling. Verse 15, God says, okay, you don't want to listen to me? Well, then a people of unknown language are going to come. And they're going to eat up your harvest. They're going to eat up your flocks. They're going to eat up all your cows. They're going to eat up everything out of your vineyards and your orchards. They're going to destroy their cities and take you away captive. And I want you to notice here that what Jeremiah is prophesying, that what he's speaking into the situation, is not a foretelling of the future, although it certainly will come true. He is preaching the law of God, very simply. Listen to Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 48. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness, and in the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, nor the increase of your herd or the young of your flock, until they have caused you to perish. And it shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you have trusted come down throughout your land. And it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land which the Lord your God has given you. So all that Jeremiah is telling him is what's going to happen to you is exactly what God told you would happen to you if you would not listen, if you would not obey. And the point here is that people can ignore the voice of the Lord. They can run around with their fingers in their ears saying, I won't listen, I won't listen, I won't listen. But eventually, God switches His voice from that gentle voice to that parent, that voice that all of us who are parents know, the voice that says, yes, you will listen to me. You may not want to listen, but you will listen to me now. And God speaks now in the voice of judgment to the people of Jerusalem. And it's not pleasant for them. And fearfully enough, that seems to be the voice of God that our nation most wants to hear from. We don't want to hear the kind voice, the gentle corrections of God. We want to put our fingers in our ears, and we want to be spoken to in the voice of harshness, of difficulty, the voice of strong judgment. Well, as the people of God, of course, we're called to pray for our nation in these things. But also it's a reminder to us. Jeremiah was speaking to the people of God, the people of God who had hardened their hearts, who had refused to hear. And it's a reminder to us as God's people to really listen to God. Matthew 7:24 and 25, Jesus says, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So will we be those who hear God's word and listen and do it? Or will we be those people who hear God's word and determine not to do it? That was the determination that Jerusalem made. We will not do what the Lord has instructed us. I think as God's people, as Christians, it's easy for us to fall into traps of not listening to all of God's word. How do we do that? How do we work to make sure that we do hear all of God's word? I think one very simple thing is that we need to make sure that we are regularly reading the entirety of the scripture. Not just reading the parts that we want to read, that are easy, our favorite books of the Bible, but to make sure that we're eating a steady diet of all the portions of Scripture. We also are called, as we think about the application here, we need to make sure that we do not downplay certain sins in our own lives. I think we all have commandments that are easier for us, commandments that resonate with us, and that we say, yes, that's definitely true, and that we want to follow and do, and then other commandments that are harder for us. And so our tendency is to say, well, I'll focus on these things over here and ignore these other things. And yet we need to listen to all of God's word, to not downplay certain sins, to not be dismissive of certain sins in our own lives. We also need to make sure as Christian people that when we come to the scriptures, that we hear not only the parts that talk about God's forgiveness of us, which are certainly true and certainly important, but also to hear that Jesus Christ has been made Lord and Christ, that He is not only the Savior, but also the Lord, and that therefore we are called to lives of service and obedience to Him. And we need to make sure that we are listening and willing to be instructed by His Word. Ultimately, Jerusalem was unwilling to hear from God's Word. They would not listen to the voice of God's prophets. They accumulated for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they ended up in destruction. And so we, as God's people, need to learn from their negative example and make sure that we're not selective hearers of the word, but that we listen to what God has to say and that we seek to obey what He has commanded us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your patience with us. We thank You that through the Holy Spirit at work within us, that You have prepared our ears to hear You, that You've opened our ears from their deafness. Lord, we pray that we would listen to Your word. We pray that especially in those times when Your word is convicting to us, when Your word is calling us to things that are uncomfortable for us or difficult for us, that we would listen, that we would not ignore those things, but that we would listen and be obedient to You. Lord, we continue to pray that You would spare our nation from judgment. We ask that You would open the ears of people within our nation to hear the truth of Your word and to repent and of the wicked ways of this land. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.